Good evening, all. I think I'd like to. I would like to, for what I'd like to do, and I'd actually like to bottle Ella and what Charmin and Nancy are doing and do it much more everywhere, because actually what they're doing is amazing. And I think the structures that Bill talked about as well are very much, I think, where we need to be going overall with this. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, with the background, as Hilary said, I chair the Digital Skills Council, which is a relatively new council, been set up to try and address some of the gaps in the digital skills portfolio that's out there, because there's a lot of stuff available. And I also happen to chair the Education Skills Committee for the Royal Academy of Engineering next door as well. But I thought what might be worth, and just to expand on Bill, what Bill said slightly, is just to expand on the fact that, you know, we are living, if we're talking about schools and colleges preparing young people for a technological life to help tackle the technical skills gap, the question really is, you know, what is that technological life? Because as Bill identified in his various icons and pictures, you know, we're in a very different world now where technology pervades everywhere. It's pervading not only the things we've seen for years of shopping and travel and so on, but of course now dominating things like health, and of course the challenge of net zero and climate change, where it will become much more pervasive. And then as we start to see the impact of some of the more advanced digital technologies like AI and quantum and so on, we're going to see a much greater impact. So we have to recognize that we're living in a world where we're bringing people up into roles and environments that are very different than maybe some of the systems that we've used up to this point have been designed for. And it seems that people will be exposed to technology. Ella just talked about it, but we've seen National Grid talking about the need to recruit, you know, 400,000 people up to 2050, many in very technical roles like smart grid, IoT, and so on. And then despite some of the challenges around battery manufacture, which there are clearly some at the moment, you know, Faraday Institute, which is the Battery Institute, talking about, you know, 182,000 existing vehicle technicians with only 20,000 or so who have got EV type capability. So no matter what job you're moving into, what environment you're coming into, you're going to be exposed to technology, into digital in particular, in the case I've been talking about. The reality, of course, is the good news is that many of these jobs are higher value and higher skilled jobs. So in this drive, if you will, as an economy that needs to pervade in this complex world where we need higher value jobs, it's good news that we're getting people towards this direction. But there are some very significant challenges. We have a long way to go. You know, there's no doubt about it. There are hundreds of thousands of job vacancies, many who are quoting that technology and digital skills in particular are a big shortcoming. So we need to find a way of getting, as an employer and as someone from business, these skills into the system that allow us to be able to fulfill the kind of roles that are actually sitting out there at the moment, and actually the roles that we need to create for the next generation. But, you know, there's also a fundamental challenge about the digital confidence, particularly of the nation. You may be aware of the Essential Digital Skills Framework, which is a framework that's been measured by Lloyds Bank in particular over the last 5 or 6 years, where we've actually still got over 8 million people who don't have the essential digital skills for work. That's pretty shocking, really, as a nation, that we're in that kind of position. And particularly if we're talking about some of the things we want to do in the advanced industries or in the future, we need to be building the pipeline of people as well as just the experts that we have at the top of that particular stack. And some of the things we're looking at in the council is to actually say, you know, how can we build the bottom of the triangle as well as the top of it and the middle? So important. But it's important that the two of the key areas, in fact, that were identified in that essential digital skills gap were actually around productivity type applications, which I'll talk a bit more about in a second, and safety applications. So are people safe? They're starting to go into this environment. Do they have the confidence to go online? Do they have the confidence to take digital technology for seriously? And as Charmin pointed in, that is something where you have to help people get into that place, because it's very difficult for many people who are engaged in in that kind of environment. But, you know, there are some encouraging statistics as well. You know, in 2020, only 37% of people in the 18 to 24 range had the essential digital skills for life, which is quite surprising, isn't it? Given we expect young people to be generally very digitally competent. But by 2021, that number is now 70%. Now, clearly, that's probably been precipitated by the necessity to use digital technology during COVID, but it's a very encouraging trend. And additionally, you know, as a business person, again, we need to look at our competitiveness and productivity of the UK still lags significantly behind our competitive nations. We are some 17% behind the G7 in our productivity. And the two big needle movers in that area tend to be leadership and management and technology adoption. And underpinning technology, if you unpick it somewhat, you'll find that actually skills is really at the root of that again. So many people don't have the confidence to adopt the technological capability, particularly in small businesses, because they don't have the skills to underpin it. You know, and way behind many of our European counterparts in that area. It's also partly that the technical learning environment is moving extremely quickly. And, you know, it's not really properly representing what we need from the next generation. In fact, interestingly enough, if you look at the imbalance of technical jobs, jobs which are defined as technical job today, only 19% of those are populated by women. So something about the system that we have today is not correctly addressing it. So we have to do something pretty fundamental to get us to the next stage. So what do we do? Well, you know, this discussion about next steps is clearly often bogged down by the issues of, you know, we have to have everybody doing physics, or we have to have everybody doing maths, or we have to have everybody doing STEM subjects. And I'm not saying that isn't important, because it is incredibly important. And there's no doubt about it. If we champion STEM or physics or maths, we will make big progress. But it's all important that actually those particular aspects of those particular subjects, although they've been important, they're not the whole story. And in fact, in many cases, they're switching people off from engaging. You know, when you look at, for example, computing, which has gone through a big change over recent times, we know that the curriculum was revised in 2014, removed ICT from the curriculum, and we had a computing science GCSE put in place. Unfortunately, of course, you know, we're still seeing then large numbers of people bouncing off that and not continuing with computing science, some going back to a university, but actually it's a real challenge around the way it's perceived. And I think the over-focus sometimes on areas like physics and maths and so on, sometimes are changing the dynamics that we'd expect to see in the population. So, but, you know, there is scope somewhat to counter that potentially. I mean, some of the things, again, that Sharman and the colleges were actually doing was really impressive, which is trying to give people this kind of base level of capability. Bill talked about it as well, about having some kind of baseline capability that everybody should have access to. I think clearly is something that would be attractive to people within a business environment. You know, and the issues are obviously also oversimplified something this often to, well, what skills do business need? Can you tell us today? We'd like to know, and we'll start teaching somebody that. Well, I've got to say that I, as a business person, I'm not sure I could tell you exactly what roles are needed now. And if I did, I'm not even sure they'd be the roles for the future. If you look, for example, at some of the roles which are being articulated inside apprenticeships, for example, things like, you know, a cyber intrusion analyst. Well, you know, in cyber intrusion analysts, I definitely need some of those today, but am I going to need those in 20 years' time? Am I going to need those in 30 years' time? Am I going to need coders in 20 years' time? I'm not really sure. I mean, we all saw the great example with Bill from ChatGPT, but much of that stuff is going to be supplanted by AI and other capabilities. But we do want the fundamental characteristics of those particular courses and dynamics to be in place. So we know we're not going to change the curriculum overnight, but we do want potentially to have the people who are thinking about the characteristics of being a cyber threat analyst or a coder in our businesses. And as Bill, I think, said, and I think Nancy reiterated, you know, we will actually in business teach people the skills ourselves, but we need to have some of the core capabilities. I talk about the four C's. We've already had the three C's and the six C's today. So actually we're all on C's, which is pretty good. And they're all kind of the same ones. But I would like to see certainly almost all education framed with those three, six or four C's, which basically around collaboration, communication, creative thinking, and, you know, creativity or critical thinking and creativity. I think if we can be looking at those fundamentals, we're going to be in a much better position. So, you know, one of the areas, particularly in the digital area, we've been focusing on is how we help people to understand whether digital skills and a digital career is something they would want. And we are definitely seeing, particularly people going into apprenticeships and then taking up digital careers, particularly in SMEs, as being a real challenge. And there is, in fact, an interesting OECD definition of digital skills, which is problem solving in a technology-rich environment. And I think that's a useful way of looking at it, which again reinforces some of the things that the other speaker said, which is that if you're a plumber, your problems are sending invoices, communicating with your customers, ordering supplies and so on. If you're a nurse, you've got a set of skills you need because you want to spend more time in front of your patients than you do filling in forms. So digital skills is something which has to be much more contextually relevant. And I think we would hope to see much more of that kind of thinking as we develop both the engagement of apprenticeships into business and as well as the qualifications that otherwise would be going to a business environment. So, you know, I think ultimately we need to focus more on those sorts of skills which bring the right characteristics into business rather than necessarily having focus on exactly what job we need or exactly what course we need to fulfill. And, you know, just finally to wrap up, one of the areas, again, we're looking at in the council is the modularization, the revision of accreditation and how we have kind of next generation of skills delivered. And I think, as we know in our lives and our environment today, we're very used to modular updating. We're used to looking at things on YouTube. We're used to be able to looking at small subsets of things. I think what we need to do is to be able to bring that into the education system, which clearly is challenging given the nature of the curriculum. But some of the work that's been done on digital badging, micro-credentials, which is currently going on at the University of Stafford and is very attractive to DfE, I think could be a path for us to potentially bridge between where we are today and where we need to get to. So, plenty more things to talk about. I'd like to talk about them in a panel, but for the moment, I'll leave it there. Thank you.